Good afternoon to all of you. I have to make two confessions before I start. The first one is I have foyer duty today. So I was out front this morning and I asked Brother Kicker if I could preach from the foyer this afternoon. I said, we have a wireless mic. We could put it on and I could get my James Earl Jones voice and I could do it from the back. And Terry said, no, that's not acceptable. Second thing is, as a former instructor, I was taught that we have eye contact with everybody in the audience. But I've already been warned by two folks, don't look at me because you don't know what I will do. One of them is Chris, who is sitting back there leaning out in the aisle so he can see me. But I enjoy the encouragement and the fun that we have with one another. And that kind of goes along with the lesson that we're going to talk about tonight, and that is the Christian's responsibility to our local family members in the congregation. And we're going to talk about a lot of things. Now, this is not going to be your typical sermon in that you'll have 3 points or 4 points. There's going to be a lot of things that we're going to talk about, like 16 things that we're going to be required to do for one another. So if you're keeping notes, I apologize in advance if it's hard to keep up with. But I think you'll be able to follow along. How many of you have a physical family? We all do. Most of you are sitting by some of your physical family. One of the saddest things I read this past week was there was a veteran that passed away, and the city where he lived was asking for folks to come out to his funeral because he had no living relatives at all. He was by himself. So you think about that, that's kind of a sad situation, but we're all blessed with not only a physical family, but a spiritual family. And that's what we'll talk about tonight. But in our physical family, there's blessings, there's love and care of parents. Daily necessities of life are given, the blessing of a good name, same as in the Christian family. So we're going to start there. We're to be a part of a local congregation. Now, today, a lot of folks don't subscribe to that. They think that organized religion is not needed, that one can be a Christian without the local congregation, and I can just bounce from place to place, don't have to put my membership anywhere or work with a specific group. Turn your Bibles to Acts 9, 26 to 28. What did Paul do after he was baptized? Paul tried to join the disciples in Jerusalem, but they wouldn't let him. Barnabas took him and vouched for him and told him how he had changed. So then they accepted him and he became a part and he started studying and worshiping with them. As Christians, we need to be a part of a local congregation and we have responsibilities to that local congregation that we don't have with any other congregation anywhere else. Now, Diane and I visit other congregations from time to time, but our duties and responsibilities are here at Redland Road because this is where we work and where we worship. The Church of the New Testament is pictured as the house of God, 1 Timothy 3:15. As such, the Christian must love the other children in God's family. 1 Peter 2:17 says, honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, and honor the king. So we're always to seek to do our brethren good, to walk uprightly before them, be an example, and to share and help them through life. Now, this lesson, as I said, is going to be a little different. We're going to start in Romans, and we're going to work our way all the way through the rest of the New Testament until we get to 2 John. So I ask you to get your Bibles and follow along because I don't want you taking my word for it. I want you to read it for yourself because remember the title of this lesson is, what are our responsibilities to one another? So I don't want to tell you what your responsibility is. I want the Word to tell you what it is. And then if you don't like it, it's not my issue. Take up the issue with the one that wrote it. But anyway, I think you'll enjoy what we're going to do. Romans 12, verse 10 will be our first scripture. Now, I will say this. I'm not going to say something after every scripture, so we may read 4 or 5 without any commentary from me, and then at a couple of times we will. Romans 12:10 says, be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor, giving preference to one another. Those of you taking notes, kind of keep up with what we're commanded in each one of these verses. Romans 12:16, be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Romans 13:8. Owe to no one anything but to love one another, for he who loves another has fulfilled the law. Romans 14:19. Therefore, let us pursue the things which make for peace and the things by which we may edify one another. Romans 15:14. Now I myself am confident concerning you, brethren, that you also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able to admonish one another. Now this is one I think we need to stop and talk about for a second. Admonish means warn, reprimand, or advise. This says that they're confident that we are full of goodness, filled with knowledge, able to admonish one another. As Christians, we need to love each other enough that we're willing to warn, advise, and at times reprimand one another if the case needs to be. Unfortunately, a lot of people think that's the elder's job and the elders only to do that kind of work, or the preacher. I don't read that in that verse, do you? It says we are to do it, but it also says we need to have the goodness and the knowledge to do it. So we need to make sure that we understand what is required. Do we love each other enough to admonish one another? David often speaks about social media. If you see one of your brothers or sisters post something on social media that's not appropriate, are you willing to admonish them or talk to them and warn them that that may not be something we need to do? That's just an easy one that comes to mind, but it can be on anything. So let's make sure that we have the knowledge and the love for one another to admonish one another if we need to. All right, we'll move from Romans to Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 12:25. Now there should be no schism or divide in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. All right, Galatians 5:13. For you, brethren, have been called to liberty, only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. Galatians 6:2. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. This is a verse that gives me a lot of concern. And it may you or it may not, but when I read that, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ, this is one of those commands that we are given that has a qualifier on it. And so fulfill the law of Christ. So by deduction, what happens if we're not bearing one another's burdens? We are not fulfilling the law of Christ. I think about it often because are we helping each other out? Do I help you with your burdens? Do you help me? Do I even know what your burdens are? Do you know what mine are? Do we know each other enough and love each other enough that we will go to each other to ask for help to bear our burdens? If we don't, we probably need to think about that. Why not? Why don't I know you enough as a brother and sister in Christ to ask for your help and vice versa? This is something that we need to really pay attention to because I think all of you, if I ask you, do you want to fulfill the law of Christ, every hand would go up. In order to do that, we have to bear one another's burdens. Ephesians 4:32. And be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Ephesians 5:19, and we've been doing this already this evening. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Colossians 3:12-13. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. This is from the King James Version. It says, must do. Is that an option? Must is, you have to do it. A lot of folks you hear say, well, I'll forgive them if they put a qualifier on it. Or I'll do this if. This tells us that if you have a complaint against another, you must forgive them. Many of us have heard stories, and I think someone even told the story here from the pulpit before, where people worshiped together for years and would never speak to one another. People would sit on one side of the building, others would sit on the other side, and the two shall never pass. My question would be, can either one of them worship acceptably? If you have something against your brother, I don't see how coming in the building and sitting on either side will do any of you any good. Now, I may be harsh, and if I'm wrong, I ask for forgiveness, but I don't see where you can be acceptable living that way to your fellow brothers and sisters? This lesson's kind of tough, isn't it? We've only covered so far caring for one another, serving one another, admonishing one another, being kind to one another, forgiving one another, bearing one another's burdens, and being humble and long-suffering. But we have several more to go. We have a lot of responsibilities. 1 Thessalonians 3:12, "And may the Lord make you increase and abound in love to one another and to all, just as we do to you." 1 Thessalonians 4:18, "Therefore comfort one another with these words." Isn't it wonderful that we have God's word to comfort one another with? What do those outside the church have? You know, there's a lot of suffering going on, and we have a lot of folks that are sick within our congregation, folks that have lost loved ones. It's great that we can comfort one another with the word of God. Sometimes it's hard for us to determine what to say or know what to say, but the word will always be there to help us. All right, now Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 13. "But exhort or encourage one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin." Why do you think it says while it is called today? Why not encourage one another tomorrow? Or encourage one another next week? Because we're not guaranteed tomorrow or next week, but we have today, so we need to encourage each other today. Let us not waste an opportunity. I don't know if any of you are like me, but a lot of the regrets that I have are those things I didn't do for others when I had the chance. We can spend a lot of time sitting back saying, man, I had the opportunity to do this, I didn't do it. Or that may have been my only chance to do that with that person, and I didn't do it. So let's make sure that we encourage each other today. Hebrews 10, 23, 25 through 25. "Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching." When we read this verse normally, or we hear it talked about, it's usually focused on one specific portion of it, the forsaking of the assembly. But there's a lot more meat to these couple of verses than just that. Consider, stir up, encourage. This is an active passage, so we are to be active in doing those things. And when I was teaching the teens, I asked them, who was missing this past Sunday? And they would kind of, that would make them think to look around and see who was missing. Do we do that? We're to encourage, stir up each other, but how do you do that if you don't know who's here or not here? Now, sometimes Diane and I move around a lot, and I tell people that I like to keep the enemy guessing. It's an old military tactic. If you don't know where I'm sitting, you don't know where I'm at, you know. But some people have said to us before, we missed you Sunday. I don't know why you missed me. I was here. But I sat in a different seat. So people weren't used to me sitting where I was sitting. Now, some of you, I know if you're here or not because you've sat in the same pew for 40 years. It's easy to find you. But so we need to look around and see who's missing and who's not. And if they're missing, let's call them. Send them a card. Encourage them. That is something we have to do. I heard something at Polishing the Pulpit this year that really made me think. We all want to hear, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant." But to be a faithful servant, you have to serve. That's not just coming to worship, doing your part, going home, and we see you again Wednesday night or the following Sunday. Nothing is done in between. Serving is an act. Jimmy spoke last week about when you take care of folks, it's not just saying, how you doing, what do you need? It's actually doing it, providing a service to them. All right, let's transition to the book of James. James says something two times in a matter of two chapters that I find interesting, primarily because he says it twice. Anything in the Bible that's said once obviously is important, but when it's said twice, this close to one another, kind of makes me think, why did he have to say this? James 4:11, "Do not speak evil of one another, brethren. He who speaks evil of a brother and judges his brother speaks evil of the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge." And then James 5:9, "Do not grumble against one another, brethren. lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge is standing at the door." So he says in a matter of two chapters, do not speak evil of one another. We're not to speak evil of one another or judge one another in this context. The issue is, if you have something against your brother or an issue with your brother, where should you go? To your brother, not to someone else, because that doesn't help the situation at all. Matter of fact, it makes it worse. You've heard the story, there's three sides to every story, your side, my side, and what's in the middle? The truth. So the more people you get involved, the farther you get from the truth. So don't speak evil or grumble against each other. James 5:16 is another one of these verses I spent a lot of time on. And I know that I'm a work in progress, but I think I've got a long way to go when it comes to this passage. "Confess your sins one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much." Am I being acceptable to my brothers and sisters? Do we trust each other enough to confess our sins to each other and ask for prayers? Or do we think we can only do that to the elders or the preacher again? Most of us are around each other more than we are the elders or the preachers, or you have some friends within the congregation. We need to be able to trust each other enough to confess our sins and ask for prayers. If I'm struggling with something, I hope that there's some men in this congregation that I can go to and say, "Hey, I'm struggling with this. I need your help. I need your prayer. I need you to help me to bear this burden." And I hope the same is true with me if you're struggling with something. But I'm afraid that in today's world, we're so private and keep everything to ourselves that this is not being done as much as it probably should be or could be. That's something that we need to work on, because we are to love one another. Now, the last six verses we're going to look at are in 1 and 2 John. There's a theme in these six verses that I think even the children in the congregation will be able to follow along with and figure out rather quickly. 1 John 3:11, "For this is the message you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another." 1 John 3:23, "And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, as he gave us commandment." 1 John 4:7, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God." 1 John 4:11-12, "Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love has been perfected in us." And 2 John 5, "And now I plead with you, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment to you, but that which we have heard from the beginning, that we love one another." So six times, love one another. And we'll discuss that in more context in just a minute. By no means is this list of verses all-inclusive of what our responsibilities are to one another in the New Testament, but I think that gives us plenty to keep us busy for the next little while. So let's briefly look at what we've covered. I have 16 things written down, and I have one thing twice, so there's really 15. So if you followed along, we can see if you kept up with all of these. Number one, be devoted to one another. Seek what's best. Be of the same mind toward one another. We won't always agree on everything, but the basis should be the mind of Christ. If we have that, we'll be able to work through any issue that we have. And I think we can come to the same mind together. Love one another. Build up one another. Now, when it says build up one another, I don't know about you, but I've known a lot of folks that build themselves up by tearing other people down. It just seems easier to make me look good when I'm making everybody else look a little bit weaker or inferior as compared to me. But this tells us to build one another up, and to do that, you take self out of the picture. The Air Force, one of our core values is service before self. In the Christian role that we're talking about tonight, that would be others before self and service before self. So serve others. Admonish one another. We said that could be warn, advise, reprimand. Can't let one wander off. Must have the knowledge to help them to come back and talk to them if need be. Bear one another's burdens. This is the one we talked about that has a qualifier. And so fulfill the law of Christ. Are we doing that? Be kind to one another. A lot of you are very kind. Some of you have been very kind to me today when you found out I was preaching. Some of you I know have prayed for me, and I appreciate that. Some of you kind of giggled at me. I appreciate that, too. Kind of keeps things humorous and easy. I love that we can do that because, you know, Diane, she's funny. I taught her years ago that as an instructor, you always have butterflies in your stomach before you speak. If you don't, you're probably going to fail. So Diane and I were talking, and she said, I've been praying that you have those butterflies. I'm like, well, thanks. You know? I said, I have those without you praying for them. She goes, no, that's not what I mean. I mean, I'm praying that you're like you need to be. So I appreciate her kindness in that regard. Be subject to one another. This is a very difficult thing for most of us, being subject to someone else. Because what happens when you try to correct someone or warn someone about something? Most people are like, who are you to tell me what I'm doing is wrong? But as Christians, we should be humble and be subject to one another. Forgive one another. One of the greatest gifts we can give is forgiveness, because that's the greatest gift we've been given. Comfort one another. Encourage one another. I know the preachers and elders enjoy encouragement. I enjoyed the encouragement today. I appreciated it for those that gave it to me. I led singing Wednesday night for the first time in a long time, and I was laughing afterwards that I had my pitch set up, and when I opened my mouth, the voice came out at a different pitch. I was like, oh, wow, that's good. But I even got encouragement after that, so I appreciate that. So encourage one another. And remember, the Bible said encourage today, because we may not have tomorrow. Stimulate one another to good works. Do you think it's okay to challenge and motivate each other and say, hey, we need to do this, or we need to work? But in order to do that, we need to set the example, though, for those that we're talking to and challenging and motivating. Do not speak evil against one another. Confess our sins to one another. And then finally, love one another. Are any of your physical families perfect? If they are, please give the rest of us the secret, because I haven't seen one yet. So, are our church families perfect? Each congregation? No, we're not. So all of these things that we talked about are things that we have to do, but they aren't all necessarily easy. It's work. We have to work at it. We need to strive to draw together for each other, getting to know one another better. In order for me to get to know you, you have to let me get to know you. In order for you to get to know me, I have to let you get to know me. We had Greg over Thursday evening. He helped me do some things on my truck, and each time I have him over, I find out a little more about his background in Pennsylvania and those kind of things. But we don't learn that about each other unless we spend time with one another, talk to one another. And you're not going to learn most of that here on Sunday morning, Sunday evening, and Wednesday night. You're just not. You need to spend time together. Many of us only know the surface information about each other, and we need to make sure that we know each other as good as we can. We have to tolerate the differences of opinion and strive to make a special effort to put aside things that will separate us. That goes back to having the mind of Christ. If we have that, everything else will work together. Do you guys remember the story David told the Wednesday night they went to eat at McDonald's a few months ago? When he told that story, he took, I think it was Daniel, to McDonald's and said the family that sat beside him, mom and dad was on the cell phone. The kids weren't talking. Mom and dad weren't talking. There was a lot of tension. It was just one of those horrible things to see from David's perspective, and I'm sure it was much worse for those that were in the family. We can't have that in our spiritual family. You can't come to worship and have tension and have animosity toward one another and just want to avoid one another. That's not going to make it successful for us. We have to put those things aside and do those things that we've studied about this evening. If we do what we're supposed to do, do you think Terry, David, and Jimmy's job will be a little easier? If we all get along, we edify one another, we encourage one another, we bear one another's burdens, we pray for one another, their job will be much easier. And that's what we need to try to help them do, is do our part so they can do theirs. But it all comes down to those last six verses that we read. And I find it fitting that as we went through that we ended with six verses from 1 and 2 John that said, love one another. So it all comes down to, if we love one another as we should, those 15 or 16 things we talked about will be pretty easy to do. Now, will it require work? Absolutely. But it'll be easy because we'll have the right attitude. We'll have love for one another. We'll put each other first instead of ourselves, so everything else will fall into place. But if you don't have the love for one another, how successful do you think we'll be in fulfilling the responsibilities that we have toward one another? Not very. We won't be successful if we don't have the love that we need. Jesus asked Peter, what? Do you love me? When Peter said yes, what did he tell him to do? Take care of my people, obey my commandments. We need to take care of each other. If we love each other, we'll take care of each other. If you're not a member of the spiritual family, the church that we talked about, now you know what you're missing. You have brothers and sisters that we will be providing these things to you on a regular basis. If you need to become a Christian, you need to believe in Jesus, repent of your sins, confess his name, and be baptized for the remission of sins. And we had a good discussion this morning about why baptism is essential for salvation. If you weren't here, you may want to get that CD and listen to it because it was really, really good. But if you are a Christian and you haven't been fulfilling your responsibilities, you can change that today. You can start over and say, from this day forward, I'm going to do those things that I need to do to help my fellow brothers and sisters here at Redland Road and in the brotherhood all together. Will we always get it right? No. Will we be graded on always getting it right? I don't think so, but we'll be graded on our effort. Are we trying? Are we doing our very best? So we need to make sure that we give it 100% every day to help each other get to our ultimate goal, which is heaven. If you have any needs tonight, I ask you to come forward as one of our elders will be standing up front.